cliffcentral.com.
Welcome, welcome to Wedding Central. You are with us. We are broadcasting straight from Cape Town this week, which is always, always fun to be away from Joburg. Full studio. I'm doing studio in inverted commas.
Very strange not having a mic and earphones.
Yeah, so we're kind of hoping for the best. But we're doing everything from our apartment in Cape Town, beautiful Cape Town, and we've got five people in the studio with us. I'm going to call it studio, so just bear with me. Kylie, let's go around the table. Kylie, welcome to the show, my co-host.
hello, welcome back.
Fabulous.
Yes, so I'm in Cape Town because we've opened the school. The students have started today, and they started yesterday, some of them. So it was nice to have some of the students starting, and we actually had a bit of a speed date with some of the suppliers. They got to meet the students.
Fabulous. Let's go around the table. I'm going to start with Mitty to my left here. Mitty, tell us a little bit about your company, the venue, and what kind of you guys are about.
Hi, I'm from Witwatersrand Estate. We're in Stellenbosch. We're a 30-year-old venue already. We do quite a lot of weddings. We do corporate events as well. We see a bit of everything, really.
Fabulous. Yeah. And then Elizabeth, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth. I'm the owner of Bretta Lily Floral Design. We actually celebrated our first birthday in January.
Fabulous.
I've been around the block in the floral industry, and then took the big step to opening my own company. Yeah.
So what did you do beforehand?
Also flowers.
Okay.
Yeah, worked for a few
different companies.
Yeah.
Lovely. And have you enjoyed being on your own?
Yes.
No, okay.
We've always been based
in Cape Town.
Ball. So
in
more
Ball.
In the
Okay, wow. Yes. Okay, fabulous.
Okay, different. And then we've got Angie as well. Angie, tell us a little bit about both your companies and what you guys are about.
Hi, everyone. I am Angie from My Pretty Vintage and now also Ombre Events. We are a decor and floral design company based in Pardon Island. We have a warehouse there full of wonderful, lovely things. So we have two sides to the business. We have My Pretty Vintage, which deals with all the pretty vintage elements, and then Ombre Events, which is a new venture opening up to the corporate and modern kind of bride.
Not so vintage, yeah.
Yeah.
I like your
looking
thinking.
For out of the box, so we can do some crazy installations, or you know, just think kind of not just normal. We want to challenge ourselves as creative people.
Sure.
And that's what we do.
Stunning.
Fabulous.
So why we did this particular interview is because we've realized, I mean, I specialize in flowers and decor and try to steer a little bit away from planning now just because of family life and whatever else. And Ntombi is a planner in Johannesburg. You've got a couple of weddings down here coming up this year.
Right, right.
We've just realized that how things are done in Joburg and Cape Town are completely different. So I think here you don't do flowers and decor, is that correct? Or do you, like, from a client's perspective, if she's coming from overseas or coming from Joburg getting married here, what does a florist and decor company do here, and what is different?
I think what we do is quite different to others.
Okay.
And it's kind of only metamorphosized. Oh, it's a big word for today.
Someone get their coffee.
It's only kind of created that way over need and want from our clients.
Okay.
So initially we started just doing decor, and then we would outsource a lot, and then it became to can't you do the flowers as well?
Yes,
we can. And then we're now doing lighting as well, we're doing draping, and it just makes it easier for our clients' experience to be able to offer the full package.
Okay. Right.
But I do know there's a lot of companies that just are florists or just decor hire.
Okay.
And then the client has to then put everyone together on the day.
Yeah, which can become quite challenging.
I think that's it.
From a venue perspective, what would you say is quite different here versus everywhere else?
Yeah, I think we often get companies like Angie saying, I get doing everything, but we get a lot of people coming from overseas to our venue, do destinations, weddings. I usually recommend then getting a coordinator to actually put everything together. Get someone who specializes in lighting, get someone who specializes in draping, someone who specializes in flowers. But if you can't afford having a coordinator, rather get someone also to be able to do all of it, but to know that you get someone who's really, that you can trust, and not, because there are people out there who really you can't trust.
Yeah,
so
100%.
So it's nice to know that you have a reliable supplier.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Why do you find that in Cape Town, so in Cape Town I know it's definitely not the norm for planners to be highly recommended. I mean, that's the norm for planners to be highly recommended, whereas in Joburg, the venues actually prefer to tell the clients that you don't need a planner, we'll do everything for you, whatever the case is. I mean, there's huge issues with that statement.
It's
in
so
itself.
Yeah. It's really,
I think, yeah, really every venue is different. I know from our side, we offer a venue manager on the day, we have a maitre d'. So I always recommend to people, it's not really necessary to have an on-the-day coordinator.
Right.
Should you have a coordinator, try get someone from the beginning up till right at the end.
Right, 100% to go through the entire process.
How often are you working on your own, not necessarily with a planner in Cape Town? Because it's a done thing that you have to have a planner here.
Yeah, it's like mad.
No, we have probably 50-50. So
it's a 50-50?
Yeah, we do a lot of events with wedding planners. Mm-hmm. At Nordic Adapt, actually.
Yes.
But we also do a lot of where clients come contact us ourselves. Mm. And I think maybe because we offer quite a full spectrum, they're quite comfortable. And I am a wedding planner by nature.
Yes.
I've been doing it in the industry for 17 years. So probably because we offer a little bit more, we can't actually do everything on the day.
Yeah,
but we always say, if we don't do it, get someone else
to do it.
It's so much work.
And it takes a lot of your stress away.
Yes. Yeah.
100%.
Elizabeth, from your side, being a florist, like, do you prefer to deal with the planner? Do you prefer to deal with the client directly? What is your...
I enjoy working with a client because then you get to know them, get to know really what's their style, because they have so much input already from family. Sometimes feel that the planners just come in and they have their own agenda and their own like, this is the kind of style I would want to be associated with.
Right.
So I'm enjoying dealing with the bride.
You like
brides
and brides
and the grooms and the grooms,
of course. Buy one, get one free. What do you find, do you think that's really how it is, but what do you find is the trend, and I'm trying to think now in terms of the Cape Town bride 3 years ago and the Cape Town brides that you find you're dealing with now in 2017. What do you find is different, particularly perhaps even in their design styles for their florals, what they're looking for, perhaps in budgets, perhaps in size of weddings? I'm going to start with Mitty again over here. What are trends that are actually affecting like a Cape Town bride or somebody getting married in Cape Town?
I think at Noordkraft, our venue is quite big, so we do quite like your bigger size weddings.
Do you guys consider big?
I want a minimum 120 people.
Okay, what's your max?
Maximum 300 people.
Okay.
Although we have the opportunity to do a marquee tent outside in our garden, so we can do 500, 600 people as well.
Okay.
But inside in our hall, we have a lot of space to play around with. Our ceiling is very high, so people love doing things out of the roof. Installations have...
Everybody in Joburg wants overhangs, but none of our venues offer.
People can do it. People love doing it now. Almost do more out of the roof than on the tables.
100%. There's barely anything on the table now.
Yes.
It's essentially coming from the ceiling, which is great.
Don't you wish?
Dreams.
And we see a lot of rose gold at the moment. People do play around with different colors. You still get your softer pale pink colors,
sure,
but I think more and more getting the darker colors.
People never go out of
pinkers.
Are you finding, I mean, we've always looked at it from it's like a
chalk and cheese.
We always found that Joburg would always use a lot of flowers. The trend was a lot of flowers. And we would see Cape Town very minimalistic, very arty. And is that changing?
I think
it is and isn't. So we actually did about 2 weeks ago, we had 5 weddings in one weekend.
Jesus.
And we had our flowers laid out.
Yeah.
And it was so beautiful to actually see the diversity in each different style.
Yeah.
Like the one wedding we did was cerise pink and sprayed gold pineapple. Then the other one we did, it was kind of just like greenery and blue floral runners, so like full runners down the table. The other one was kind of gold, kind of romantic Roman urns with pastels.
So
and
very
every
different.
Wedding was actually completely different.
Yeah.
No, I find people really put their own stamp into things.
Yes, right. It's changing to become
it's
themselves.
It's not like there's one fashion trend and people are just following that.
Because, I mean, we can't kind of really are over the pink and the baby colour. Oh. We have to get excited.
Yeah,
yeah,
right. I don't know, the pretty go away.
100%. You know, some things I think is it's classic. Yes, it will stay...
Yeah. 100%. We're finding also another thing in Joburg that's becoming a norm is that we no longer have like an actual defined season of wedding season. People are kind of now getting married whenever they can get married. I know that in Cape Town it's always been kind of different, even in terms of the days of the week. You guys have people getting married on a Monday.
We get people married today.
Yes.
No, you've got a wedding today.
Yeah, 100%. So what do you find in terms of wedding season in Cape Town? What was definitively wedding season, and what do you think that's becoming now?
I think at Nooitgracht, I think we are one of the busiest venues.
Right.
We're busy right through winter as well, but we are well equipped for it. We do have a chapel. We do have inside areas for everything. It is our rainy season, so people are always worried about what do we do, where do we go if it's raining.
Right.
So, yeah, I think there are places definitely that can't cater for everything, so then it does get a bit more quiet. Yeah.
And budgets. I think a lot of venues are also offering a kind of
a winter promotion.
But also that's not a bad thing, because then you can also maybe do a weekday wedding, get all the flowers and the best caterers that you want.
Our June, July pumps now.
Yeah.
Hey? We really are. We were hoping to close for a week or two and go on a break.
It's my break. Yeah. It's definitely changing. And then I wanted to find out who is more expensive. And I've got all of you guys now around the table.
Yeah, you're being the planner. The planner coming up.
I must be devil's advocate. Who do you find is more expensive in terms of venue, actually in terms of your whole wedding? Is it more expensive to get married with 100 guests in Joburg versus getting married in Cape Town with 100 guests, all things considered, with decor and everything? Where do you find the biggest spend is becoming? Because I do have a lot of clients who are from Joburg who want to get married down here, and obviously minus the travel element. So don't include travel as a thing, because that's an added thing. As the weddings, which do you think is the more expensive place to get married, and why do you think that is?
Who wants to answer first?
Cape Town being your wine farms, you know, they tend to be a lot more expensive in on a venue side, I would say.
Yeah.
But then they also do offer accommodation.
Yeah.
So then you are getting a bit of a better...
I think the reason why I would definitely say Cape Town is the more expensive option. Why? Because you've got the international trade.
Yes.
And then we are dealing with a local market in Johannesburg. And a lot of the Johannesburg clients are wanting to come get married down in Cape Town because it's different.
Right.
Different.
100%.
But, you know, it I think it's because of the international markets and with the rand dollar exchange, it's very cheap for people to come and get married here. How many of your clients are international clients coming, or clients that maybe are South African but maybe coming home to get married?
A lot of them. Because I mean, most of the families are still here. I get a lot of people saying, well, they got engaged in Cape Town, they want to come back for their wedding in Cape Town.
Sure,
especially people from Joburg.
Right. I think what it is that Cape Town, it's the same as the restaurants here. You know, my best friend lives down here, and she always says you can literally eat at a different place every day of the week. For the entire year,
huge
2 years straight, and you might not end up at the same place, because that's just how diverse Cape Town is.
You can also have all the seasons in one day.
I got here on Sunday and I was like in a sundress, and Tommy's like, girl, I stopped at the Woolies and I was like, Jersey.
Yeah, so I just find that I think Joburg just has, you know, these venues to offer, whereas Cape Town has so many different options in terms of venues, and so many venues that you can use very differently. Yeah. No one wedding ends up being the same at the different venues, because people use, you know, the paths within the trees and, you know.
Are there any restrictions? I mean, you've obviously worked, especially yourself, and you've worked at a lot of different venues. Is there any particular restrictions that venues give you when working there?
In Cape Town, particularly.
Yeah.
Interestingly, we actually are working with a venue who I won't mention. recently sent an email saying they're not even going to set the tables anymore. So they won't put on their own linen, their own cutlery, wow. their own crockery, their own glassware. The couple, even if they're doing DIY, have to do it themselves.
Wow.
Which so are they literally just giving you the shell?
Yeah. Which I thought, well, part of your venue hire should
be. Right.
So there's restrictions in terms of when we have access and when we need a breakdown. Mm, right. And depending on when there's another event, if we need to get in at 5 o'clock in the morning, if there's another event coming. Yeah. But generally, most venues understand that we're doing it for the same client.
Yes. Right. Right.
So it's not our wedding or theirs, it's actually the client's wedding.
100%.
So we
most have to have that teamwork element in there.
That's maybe what we lack a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely find, you see, in Joburg, I genuinely think it really is about my company and how best this is going to serve my company.
Yeah.
Which I feel, that's why I always say it's actually an advantage to have a wedding planner, because you have somebody who's reminding people that this isn't actually about you, I just need you to actually get it done for the client. But I find in Cape Town, it really is a banding together of people because you guys
it's a big industry, but it's a small industry.
Yeah. Very much so, yes.
And you need to work on your relationships, otherwise 100%. You're not going to get anywhere.
100%, 100%. You have to keep that
intact. You have to work together.
100%. What would you say for somebody who is listening to the podcast and is planning from perhaps overseas or from Joburg or whatever the case is, what would you say are a couple of key factors to remember if they are planning remotely? To have a wedding here, what questions do they need to ask, what things do they need to consider to make their process a lot easier? And let's say this person perhaps doesn't have access or won't be able to afford a wedding planner. What are particular things that you think are key when planning a wedding, especially remotely?
An idea of how much you can afford, because there's pointless going out and wanting a massive, beautiful installation if you can't afford it. Mm-hmm. So don't waste your time looking at those pictures or your supplier's time getting a quote of something you can't afford.
Yeah.
So get an idea, split it up and go, cool, I've got this much for a venue, this much for a photographer, this much for decor flowers, and then start your planning process. Because if you don't, but at the same time, it's hard to know how much things are until you actually start
to put things out there.
Which then maybe leads to a follow-up question to say, how much generally should somebody be planning for a wedding of, let's say, 100 people in Cape Town? You know, if you're not doing...
Have you worked on this, Kate? Yes.
Have you worked it out? Because we've got a good idea per head in total what a good... budget, not like an average wedding would cost, hey? What figure
are we using? It's minimum, for me, I always say minimum R1,500 per guest.
That's exactly, I was going to say.
And that's not even something that's like
over super
large.
No, I would say 2.25 now, and for me with, I don't know.
No, I think you can get away with something decent.
Yeah.
Like I'm saying, it's not going to be many, many flowers, you know, open bar. It's not going to be everything.
Over the top. No.
Yeah, it's just going to be basic. It'll be pretty. You will be married. People will eat.
And you'll
And people
but
will
But I always say, we just did a wedding at Hawksmoor where it was for 24 guests. And they had the same budget as another wedding for 120 guests.
Right.
And they did it, and they did it well.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you want to have this beautiful, looking, extravagant, lovely, bling bling, I'll remember it forever wedding, cut your guest list down.
Yeah. 100%.
And spend that money where you actually, you will remember.
Yeah.
100%.
Because will you actually see your 150, 200 guests on the day and actually go around and spend time with each other?
And I think we're seeing that happening.
Yeah.
People realize, but I don't have to invite the whole family that I haven't seen for years and years.
I always say to clients, like, okay, yes, you're working with somebody and you want to invite your colleagues, but how long are you going to be there for?
Exactly.
Like, are you going to be there in 2-3 years' time, and are you still going to want to talk to that person?
Yeah.
Why invite them to your wedding just because they work with you?
Yeah, 100%.
That sounds terrible. Yeah.
Yeah, no, 100%. And I always say, to create an experience, and my whole thing about weddings is that you do want to create an experience. Doesn't matter where you have your wedding, your guests are going to be spending money. And even if, and even more so when it's in Cape Town, because people are going to travel and accommodation, and it becomes a weekend thing now for your guests, make it an experience that they're going to remember. So don't shortcut it for budgeting. And like Angie was saying, be aware of your budget so that you know how much you're going to spend on clients. Speaking about weekends now, because obviously if somebody's doing their wedding in Cape Town, especially if they're not from here, usually they do turn it into a weekend thing. What do you think is the best time filler for maybe the guests over a 3-day period that they could do maybe cost effectively either for their guests or for themselves that makes that experience a full weekend for some people?
Wine tasting, Cape Town.
Oh, there's so much.
Chobas, Table Mountain.
We often see or I hear from people saying after Friday night they will all go to a beach venue.
Right.
And then Saturday night's actual wedding celebration that will be at the Winelands venue. Sunday morning they go for a picnic breakfast somewhere.
100%.
There's really just so much to do.
And that's actually what I was trying to get at, is that people need to remember that as much as Cape Town is known for the Winelands, if you're getting married in the Winelands, do something very different for your clients. Don't spend the entire weekend there, because there is other stuff to do. Go into town and you know, the restaurant.
Go on a safari.
Yes, 100%. There's a lot
more. Story picking.
Yes. That, now that brings me to the strawberry picking. There's not many strawberries at the moment, eh?
No, it's over for now.
It's very dry down here at the moment. It's actually quite scary driving around coming from Joburg where everything is green. I feel like I'm in a garage. Like, from you being a florist, like, what are the challenges you're facing at the moment because it's so dry?
Well, luckily for us, the Pantene color of the year is lime green, so that helps with the greenery. Because that is, especially me, I love working with foliage, living in the Boerland. That's one of the perks having a company in the Boerland. Even Cape Town, we have access to the most incredible textures and greens. But it's really becoming
because I mean we're part of a floral group on Facebook, and you know, as florists we use a lot of water, we waste, we cut a lot of the stems off, and I mean especially when times are, it's how many days left have we got of water?
Well, last week was 100, so
it's scary, like, and we use water all the time.
But we've become very conscious,
are you recycling it? What are you doing?
A couple of weekends ago, we had 16 buckets of water, but I took those home and I haven't actually watered my garden in about 6 months.
Okay.
So all the water that we use at the office with all the flowers, I take that home and then water my garden.
I'm doing the same.
We shower with a bucket in our shower. You'll be so surprised how much water you actually
waste.
And it's actually, I think it's a good thing with this drought in a way to become more conscious.
Yeah,
I think before we just took it for granted. Now when you start monitoring how much water you're using,
How's it, if say these 100 days now come, how's it going to affect your business
and therefore your client's price?
It will,
like,
definitely.
How?
A lot of our flowers come from Johannesburg.
How are you going to soak your aces if you can't open the tank?
You can still get bottled water.
Yeah.
So that unfortunately will inflate our prices.
Hopefully
we are doing the rain dance every
day. Right.
We will pray for rain.
Positivity.
Is there particular flowers that you get here? And is there particular flowers that you get from the market in Johannesburg? Like proteas, don't you get your proteas from here?
No.
You don't get them from Johannesburg?
That's me, especially in the Boerland. There's lovely protea farms, so I get it locally.
Directly from
I love,
getting supporting,
yeah, supporting local, thank you, Angie. And obviously you kind of get to pick the most beautiful ones. But they're... That's not the big thing, protea.
Okay.
Do you find that inflates your price a little bit in terms of the flowers, because you do have to import a lot from Joburg? So just maybe Carly, if you can explain to somebody who's listening who has no clue on how, you know, flowers and ordering flowers and stuff works in South Africa, how does that work and how would that then in turn affect the business in Cape Town?
So what happens is we all buy our flowers on auction. So whether you're in Cape Town, Durban, wherever, there's generally a lot of the florists are getting their flowers from an agent.
Right.
So the agent sits on the market. The farmers are sending their flowers onto the auction.
Okay.
And then it works on a matter of supply and demand. And then the agents would buy, obviously, for their various florists that they are providing for.
And this market is based in Joburg.
Yes.
Right.
And we even have like the Angolan buyers buying for the whole of Angola.
Right.
But for Cape Town, they're having to have, they've got agents that sit by for them, then they have to box them, and you have to, they fly
them
to,
yeah.
They courier them, and they fly, or they either fly them, or it, it gets driven
most
down.
Of time flight, yeah.
The flights, because I mean, it's
yeah.
Yeah. And they're
yeah.
boxed. Do you collect them from
the airport?
The airport,
mm,
okay.
Right.
And then don't you lose a lot of your flowers sometimes in transport, because they, don't they get damaged?
Depending on what flowers,
mm.
and depending on when they were picked or when they were
mm.
transported.
Yes.
Mm. You know? So
and
if a wording's on a Monday
yeah.
or Tuesday, you know, so depending on when
mm.
it's sent over. But also, if you have beautiful roses, you actually want them a little bit more in advance so they
mm.
can open, so
right.
on the day they've actually opened enough
yes.
and look fresh and beautiful.
And you must have to be super super organized when it comes to how many your quantities and things like that,
because you can't
I know,
just go
we
back
can,
to
like,
the market
no. we just go back to the market the next day, oh we didn't buy enough flowers, we're off and go already.
Yeah.
I just can you imagine?
Sure. I can't. I don't do
well,
it.
I think I have a little habit of over-ordering.
Yeah.
Just
I think
which
place
doesn't?
Yeah. I thank goodness for that.
But
depend on it entirely.
And then you kind of like, oh, I've got these extra flowers. Let me just add a little bit.
That's
here.
Right.
Let me
yeah.
add a little bit there.
Because they're
going
to go to waste
anyway.
Oh,
that sign looks a little bit bare. Let
yeah.
me like put a little garland on it.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Yeah, but over-ordering is something I think we have to do.
And
mm,
I, you know what I've also seen, just but because there's this Facebook group and it's all florists and everyone, I've seen here that
we're a lot more talkative.
Yes,
right.
And first
yeah.
of all, I'm like, where do you find the time?
Yeah,
but
right.
like, there seems to be, you guys are very close, and
yes.
in terms of like, we were just chatting earlier that the one day. The flowers didn't come that you had ordered, and they now Jade or one of
yeah.
your friends now having to see what she's got.
Yes.
I mean, we would actually we don't
yeah.
do that.
But that's why
because
I'm saying
it's
only a recent thing.
Yeah,
I mean, I
because
think we the Flower Collective actually got together only about a year and a
yes.
half ago.
Yeah. yeah,
and it's actually opened us all to realize we're in a business and we're in competition,
yeah.
but it can be a friendly, healthy
yeah.
competition.
Self. And it's fabulous.
We're actually helping each other.
Yeah.
So if I've got something that I've got extra, I'll
mm.
post it going.
And they do. They literally go and fetch it from each other.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right.
I'm like,
do you
wow.
have this for me? Do you have that for me? Or I've got this. And it's we actually meet for coffee.
Right.
And it's we've become, and
a
we help each other.
Member.
If we don't have a wedding on, if you need me, hey, I'm
yeah.
here for you.
Right.
And also they talk about pricing. And
mm.
this client has emailed me saying, about this budget, has anyone else got it? And it's
mm.
just like this we're really there's this uniform, it's like a
yeah.
unity. It's quite nice, and I really appreciate that Coral has
put it
has
together,
opened
absolutely.
And put together, and it takes a lot of work to keep it going.
And then
realize
yeah. we're because also we have a time where we
mm.
can, you know, say our
yes.
thing, and it also know it helps us know that we're not the only ones
yeah.
right.
that are either going through an issue with not getting a flyer
yeah.
in time
right.
or
yeah.
you know having difficulty with the venue
yes.
right.
or you know, so we're having one voice
yes.
yeah.
and we're actually understanding how much are you charging for this arrangement
yeah.
versus somebody else
yeah.
and we're collectively now saying let's do this
mm.
as a standard,
right.
as an industry standard, so we're not having clients going, but I can get that cheaper.
Yeah.
100%. I think. Wow, I didn't even
it's
know you
fabulous.
Guys. Yeah, I didn't even know you guys had such.
I guess
a big, and I think,
yeah.
and yeah,
yeah.
even me. I could just be called. It for me, I think that works especially to the client's benefit, because
that's
then it genuinely does become a skill set and who you're drawn to in
yes.
terms of supplier. You know, I always say I cannot get all the clients in the world. It's just impossible. But I would rather we share the clients and we support each other, because sometimes there are weddings that are much bigger than what your team can handle. And how nice would it be if you could pick up the phone
mm.
and know that somebody genuinely is going to help you
mm.
Without any holds bar
mm.
or any
and
self-serving.
And we've had it. I mean, I've done it where I'm doing this installation I've never done before. Can anyone give me help and tips
yeah.
and guidance? And then everyone goes, yeah, do it this way, do it this way.
Yeah. That's great.
I think that's brilliant.
Really awesome.
I think that's absolutely brilliant. What would you say to somebody, and maybe Elizabeth can pitch in here, for somebody that's perhaps starting their business and, you know, navigating the hard times or whatever the case is, what do you think they could take from a business in Cape Town and a group like that? What can they do to make their journey better or to make their business more successful, maybe in terms of mindset or things that they could possibly do for their business? What do you think they can take? I'll start with you, Liz, because yours is like
yeah.
the newest.
Yeah. No, I must say this specific group has been such a blessing to me, first of all, because I was so used to big teams, being part of a team, and now most of the times I'm on my own, and then it's like, oh, I miss team. And then I get the opportunity, like my Pretty Vintage, I go and freelance for them, and I get into a team again, and we pull this amazing wedding off, and I'm like,
so
that's definitely one of the things. And then pricing, like actually just yesterday I had a client that was inquiring about floral crowns, and
I was going to mention flower crowns. Everybody wants flower crowns,
right. Like, people and have like no idea the time and the effort that goes into that. Absolutely. So I got a reply, no thank you, we're not going to use your services. And I was so upset. And then I posted on the group, you know, just to make sure my prices was in check. And some people said, no, you're asking too cheap. Little.
How much were you charging for a flower crown?
R300 for a while.
I do it like $650 because there are so much work. And I did it, my sister-in-law, she wanted a flower crown for a kitchen tea. And she ended up upstaging the bride. She also had one. But I said to her, come and make it with me. So she was blown away at the time, and she says, I'm not surprised you charge this. That's because it's a definitely. Lot of effort.
It's an art.
It's an art.
That's right.
It's a creative art.
That is the thing. It's an art piece that we pour our hearts and souls and time into. Yeah.
Right. With that being said, what do you think is a misconception about flowers? Like, for example, like you're saying, the flower crowns. People expect it to be almost a cheaper way out to make something pretty or to make their bridal party prettier. And, you know, they are blown away by prices or whatever the case is. I find another thing that brides think is greenery.
Yeah, let's just do kilometers of green.
Yeah, kilometers. That's exactly right. Yeah, it's ridiculous, and they think it's going to be cheaper, and they don't realize that if that's going to replace your flowers, because originally it was meant to be a filler. Now,
but what I do when we do a greenery run, I will say, okay, so you've got 100 guests. How many tables? Say 10. So your average length of a table is 2.4. Yeah. Plus you've got your hangs, which is 1 meter each side.
Yeah, right.
So you've actually got 4.5 meters per table.
Right.
Times by 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I have to now sit and do
40 meters
of greenery runners. This is how much it's going to charge.
Yeah.
And then I think they then understand, that is where the price comes in. It's the amount of, even when you're doing a kind of garland for a ceremony, it's still a lot of work. Foliage, yes, they say greenery's out there, but that's a team going out, picking the greenery. Yeah. That's 2 hours of their time. Mm. Bringing it back, conditioning it,
making sure the leaves are clean.
Exactly. Right. Taking off all the,
the gunk and the insects, those things. Yeah.
It's still a process.
100%.
I have a question for you. Like, in terms of the venues, you obviously see a lot of florists come in and go. And is there anything that, from a venue perspective, that you would really like florists to do or change?
Or not do.
That like really goes, I hate it when they do this.
Yeah.
There are just some flower people really make a mess in your venue, and they don't realize, like, someone needs to clean up, and they, not all of them, but there are some of them, really just leaving the mess right there, leaving your place.
And expecting somebody to clean for
them. Yeah. Or, I mean, we have rules, sets, every venue has their rules.
Yeah.
We do want, a whole setup must be done before a certain time.
Right.
They don't always realize that, our staff also needs to go have a break before the wedding starts, before we work another 12-hour shift, for example.
Right.
But it's each to their own. Some people, they are very well organized. Mm. They come in, they clean, they neat, they,
I always say to, with our students doing the flower course, I always say you're always on show.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you are setting up, it has to be neat, it has to be tidy and look organized, because you don't know who's coming around that venue to view the venue.
Exactly.
And they see the chaos and they think, oh my gosh, these people are super disorganized. Right. But actually, you may be just quietly
organized chaos.
Yeah.
I had last weekend, actually, there was a supplier. I'm busy showing people around the venue, doing a viewing, and then the supplier is going off at one of the staff members swearing, and I'm
while
like,
you're doing a viewing,
while I'm trying to sell my venue, and I need to stand there, and I'm like, those are not our people.
Not our people.
beautiful.
Client's choice, yeah.
And yeah, people don't realize that they're always on show.
Yeah.
What would you typically say, and again, this now feeds back into that labor cost that I sometimes feel clients don't understand. And I always, you know, as a planner, I always say, if the DAPO people or whoever say to me, Ntombi, we have to bring in 20 people to do this right, I'm going to support it. Because if I'm going to short you on your staff, then something's going to go wrong.
Time.
Yeah, some time, or it's not going to get done properly, or you won't be able to type certain things or whatever. In terms of a wedding setup, what do you think is the ideal kind of number of team members? Because I always say to my clients that if you're going to do a big wedding, you're going to need a lot of suppliers to pull that off. You cannot get away from it. But ideally, let's say for 100 people wedding, you know, 10 people per table and a main table with a ceremony and all of that stuff, typically for a decor setup, how many people would you have working on that particular wedding? And I'm not saying maybe installations, let's just talk tabletops, you know, basic stuff. What do you think on average can a client expect? Feeds into, it's not going to justify the entire cost, but it feeds into some of that cost.
I always like to say, when you are a venue and you have waiters, you generally have one waiter per table. That should also apply when you're setting up.
Exactly.
Because the amount of time actually goes putting things together, it should be relevant.
100%.
So if you have one person dedicated to 10 people pouring the wine, then one person should be dedicated to that table.
Yeah, 100%.
And, you know, so that's where we kind of work along.
And, you know, I also hope brides realize that the more complicated your table is, and there's no such thing as, you know, overly detailed or whatever, you want what you want, and that's totally fine. But if you are going to be a DIY bride who perhaps works with, like, a decor hiring company or a florist or whatever the case is, that setup on the day, that labor cost could really knock you out. Because if you've got, you know, 400 guests and everyone gets a particular favor and a name card and a this and a that, you know, napkin detail and all of that stuff, it all starts to add up because, you know, time. Time.
And don't underestimate how long it takes.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question. For a wedding of 100, 120 people, how many hours go into that wedding just from a flower and decor perspective? So
In total.
So if a bride is now thinking, do I do the flowers and decor and set up myself, or do I get a florist and decor company to do it? How many, for just 120 people, how many hours do you say that man hours?
Wow, that's a lot. Because if you think, on average, at the moment, we're dealing with 50 weddings.
Yeah.
So they come to us and we conceptualize and we talk about what you want and the color schemes and things. That's 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Then we do a quotation. It takes us 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
Then we send it out. That's another 10 minutes on an email.
Then a mock table,
then changes. Mm. Then on the day, prepping, we probably take 2 days to prep.
Mm-hmm.
Getting the oasis, getting the cutters, getting the ribbon, getting the candles, getting
So it's 48 hours. Minimum, before the wedding.
Oh, yeah. And then on the day, it's 6 to 8 hours, depending on what we have to do.
Now, I've done a very interesting exercise with the students when I say, how long, I just throw it out there. How long do you think it takes to do a mock-up?
Yeah.
And I literally did it step by step to go and get your aces, to go and get your flowers, to set it up. You know, it takes between 7 to 8 hours just to prep one mock-up.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
100%.
What are you doing a few a week?
Yeah.
And this is the thing. You know, and I'm glad that you mentioned mock-ups. I grapple with clients, every single client battles with the cost of a mock-up.
Yeah.
And they are just blown. Why should we pay for it?
Yes.
Because what if we don't go with them, or what if we don't like it?
Yeah.
And I constantly have to then break down what actually goes into it. And you are being undercharged by a gazillion cents.
Definitely.
It's
the same with the floral crowns, because for one table's mock-up, you use maybe 3 or 4 flowers of a bunch, but you need to buy all the different bunches to get the overall picture.
100%. And like you're saying, the time as well, your
day can cost. Do you have an average that you charge for a mock-up?
Minimum 1,000.
Yeah. Divide that by 8 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you haven't even bought flowers yet.
Exactly.
You know? So it's just like, it doesn't
cover. And that's, my next question. In Cape Town, is there an average cost that you guys charge, or do you particularly do it per, because I'm finding now in Joburg, you know, before they used to say it was 1,000 rand, you know, it started 3 years ago, it was like 550 rand,
yes,
for a markup.
Or some people didn't even charge.
Yeah, some people didn't charge. I won't mention any
actually,
names.
Theoretically, it should cost how much it
your
is
flowers
on the day.
Exactly.
Yes. So if
exactly
your table flowers are 1,500 rand, it should cost you 1,500 rand to get that table.
Yeah.
Right, right.
If not more, because it's time.
More.
It's
and also
more
you
effort.
Buy more bunches in.
Yeah.
100%.
So,
100%. And what
and I always say good it is good to do a mock up so then we know what you
yeah
like and don't
yeah
like
mm
and if you want to change anything.
Yes. I think a lot of companies do mock ups and they take the knock.
Yes.
They're not actually charging. They're definitely not.
Yeah.
We don't charge what we should be charging.
Right.
If we had to,
yeah,
we should be charging in for 1,000 rand.
Yeah.
When you look at all the work, you're probably looking. You should actually charge about 4,000 or 5,000 rand.
Yeah,
100%.
Just for the time.
But I'm
and
finding
also,
yeah,
even if you're a DIY bride,
yeah,
and you're getting auntie Sally
so, yeah,
to do your wedding table, do a mock-up. Because
oh, please do a mock-up.
One of the girls that are new students,
mm,
she actually got, and that's why now she's a doing wedding planning,
yeah,
she got married before her friends actually did her tables. She sat at her main table going, that's not what I want.
Yeah.
That's not what I wanted.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you don't want that to happen in your wedding.
Yeah. Because people are going to make their own call on the day and say, oh, there's not enough of this, so let's just
yeah
put this
so
in.
So make sure you do
cases
your mock-up even if you are doing it yourself.
Sure, 100%. Just to finish off with mock-ups, what can people actually expect from a mock-up? And I think Cape Town might be different to Joburg, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong.
Coffee?
Yes.
Do not give your client champagne.
That's what we have.
But what can they expect in terms of what they can see and what the experience is of a mock-up? Particularly in Joburg, I know it's pretty much a full setup. You know, the clients want to see the exact table that will be used if possible. You know, if you're going to use a glass square or a wooden table. Or,
everything.
You know, they would like to see it as close as possible to what you're actually going to do on the day. Is that different in Cape Town or what
yeah
is the experience of
it?
I
think we try
it
and replicate
yeah, yeah
exactly
mm-hmm
what it should be.
Do you do it at the venue? What times of the day do you do it? What is the norm?
Some venues struggle to allow us to do mock-ups there
okay
just
yeah
because they're so busy or they have their own
okay
functions.
If I had to do mock-ups at a
venue, every
venue
and
well,
also
just
again,
don't have the time.
We
costs
do
can
go
quite
up
a lot.
Yeah.
But because yeah, we are so busy, like it's like Friday, Saturday,
yeah,
we have weddings, you can't do a mock-up
and then
while
Monday,
there's a
Tuesday weddings.
Mm.
But we
yeah
actually
like
preferred in a warehouse because
yeah
if you
back
want to change anything,
you can
there's
pull
a whole
stuff
array of
yeah
things to change.
Yeah.
So it's sometimes better to actually
space.
But it's almost better to really visualize it in a venue.
Exactly.
Especially like with us,
I mean,
with the high roof.
Right.
Do
the
first
yeah
one.
The first
one, like a dry one.
Yeah.
No flowers at the warehouse, and you can change and then do a full flower one.
Oh, so do you
like
two?
If they want.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I mean,
we've done 17
first
before
to do it at the venue.
Yeah.
But sure, can you imagine trying to do every mock-up at a venue?
Yeah.
We did 17 was our most mock-ups.
Oh,
for one
client, she did 17 mock-ups. I would tell her to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It was again somebody who didn't couldn't visualize until she
yes
saw.
Really?
And because Pinterest, our beautiful lovely
yeah
friend.
Yes. I always say a curse to us, a blessing
yeah
to them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
There were so
curse
many,
to
and she was
and
planning so in advance, and she didn't know, and she'd see like a beautiful natural table with a greenery runner.
Yeah.
And then she'll see a beautiful grey tablecloth with this, and then
mm
it was.
Yeah.
She couldn't visualize until it's actually together.
It's
yeah
very difficult. A lot of clients don't, they're not able to visualize.
Right, yeah. And that's the difficult part. And as much as they aren't able to visualize, there becomes that frustration at a mock-up because now they can't see what they meant and now they trusted these people and the picture's not right and now they've spent money for this mock-up and it can be a very overwhelming experience. But, you know, brides just need to remember that we're not taking it personal. We kind of just want
to
make
but
it happen.
But it's okay to change
yeah
it.
You can
if
say
you,
to us,
like, what
I
we like might
things
be very different to what you like.
Exactly.
So
or what we understood
exactly
might have been very different to what ends up being out there. So just, you know, just actually say that no, I actually hate it. And people can actually redesign a flower. They've got the extra flowers or whatever, they can change their
yeah
arrangement. Or
and sometimes, you know, what we do is we'll have our tables set, and if they come in and for something's not right or they want to change something, then we say, okay, fine, can we ask you just to go out, sit in the lounge area, and then we redo the table, and then they come in again, and then they're like, okay,
yeah,
you know,
yes,
so
yes, yeah,
just to actually step away for
and don't
5
bring
minutes
everyone.
Oh, please don't bring
oh
me
out. Oh, God. Say it again. Oh my God, where can we print that on a big poster? People don't realize to deal with a panel.
Yes, it's very hard.
Yeah.
It's very hard.
So who would you recommend? I mean, we've said it before, and I think most people know who who we would recommend. Who would you recommend to be at a mock-up?
The bride and the groom.
That's it.
Yes.
Done.
That is it. I completely agree. And it's purely because you lose your own voice when you've got many people there. I always say to my clients, you know, it's one of the first things I say during the planning meeting and, you know, that consult, and I say to them, it's not worth losing your wedding over trying to please everyone else. And the more people you have at every single meeting, the more difficult it would be to make a decision. So whether it's your dress, whether it's your cake, whether it's your decor, whether it's your whatever, the more people you have, the more difficult it is to make a decision.
You lose, then you get caught up. I did it once about 15 years ago. I had a with a consultation with the bride and the mum, and everything the bride was saying, the mum was like, No, I don't think we should do that.
I think later the bride don't even know what she wants.
Said to the mother, I said, so are you married? She said, yes. I said, so you've had your day. I said, I'm going to give you a coffee, magazine. Right. I'm going to talk to your daughter about her day.
Yeah.
And they kind of understood.
And they don't like it in the beginning, but they kind of like digest it and they're like, okay, cool.
She's had her moment.
Yeah.
Pass it on.
But do you find that because the clients are paying, maybe the parents are paying, or whatever the case is, do you find that that plays a big role in deciding on a venue at least?
Definitely. I often have couples coming to look at our venue saying, I want to bring my parents back first. I can't make the decision without them seeing it, which I completely understand. Mm. It's, I think your venue and catering is your biggest part of your budget.
Yeah.
So
get them involved, but...
Yeah, but
the decision making.
But I do find most of the time, you know, daddy's little girl says, "Daddy, I love this," and daddy will say, "Okay, fine."
Yeah. But I think that's bring the daddy. Maybe daddy's good.
I think that's where the term "daddy" stems from. Yeah. Daddy gives everything.
But I do think, in the end, I mean, the bride is still making the decision. Mm. They just want someone else to also say, yes, you are right.
Yeah, that reassurance
kind of thing.
Yeah, that push in the right direction. Look, this has been such really good chat. I'm looking forward to doing a lot more weddings in Cape Town. And I'm so excited because the community here is so completely different. It's so easy to work here because everyone just wants to band together and help the next person, which is really, really refreshing. Yeah. I hope we can... God help us in Joburg.
I always say we live in two different countries.
Exactly. I almost need a passport to be here. it's really, really good. Any closing comments from, and we'll start this way with Angie, any closing comments perhaps to a bride just before we close off?
Well, thank you for having me on the show. And to a bride and a groom, is enjoy the process.
Yeah.
Don't get caught up in what is out there.
Mm.
Think about yourself, what you like. Be conscious, obviously, of budgets. And talk to each other.
Right.
Yeah.
That is your day together, his as well as hers.
Right.
Stunning.
Isn't it?
I absolutely agree with Angie. Sometimes the process comes to a point where I tell the bride, you have to give some stuff over because you're starting to lose the joy of the day.
Yeah.
So find someone that will be able to do it.
Trust them.
Yeah, trust them and give over. And be adventurous with the decor and flowers. I think we're living in such a creative time, and there's so many creative companies. Find them and have a beautiful wedding
day. Yeah, 100%.
Let's see.
Yeah, I think from a venue side, I always tell my brides and my grooms, please come and enjoy it. Don't get caught up in and actually make scenes up or get stressed up about things that's really unnecessary. Mm-hmm. Trust the people that you choose to work with.
Trust is the big thing.
Trust is the big thing.
You get engaged, you should trust the guy. You should start to trust your
and trust yourself.
Be confident in the
choice. Be honest to yourself and to each other.
Yes. 100%.
It was so nice to have you, and we look forward to sending you the podcast.
Yes,
and we will be back down in Cape Town again to do another one. And thank you so much.
Thank you. Cliffcentral.com.